Thanks to those of you who supported the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through the charitable grant program of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, Thrivent Choice, we received more than $15,000 last year through Thrivent Choice. Our goal this year is to raise more than $20,000 through Thrivent Choice. For more information on how you can designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio, look for the Thrivent logo under the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
It's about some phony ideal, some phony theology. Oh, not a theology based on the Bible, different theology.
It's time to have a debate on our political positions, but not question each other's character and faith.
To paraphrase Martin Luther, the heart and conscience has room only for God, not for God and the federal government.
My real issue is not that I have a skin disease that is causing me to go bald. That is not my real problem, that I'm going bald. My real problem is that I'm a sinner. And that's what Christ still grapples with on a daily basis for me.
Hi, this is Eric, and I'm a steel worker from Pittsburgh, PA. With some noise reduction headphones and the new iPhone app, I listen to Issues Etc. all day long.
When Jesus appeared preaching, Jesus the preacher himself, he said, "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the good news." Now, although many preachers today believe that they can improve upon Jesus' message, many have tried, all have failed. Well, although that they believe that they can improve upon it, no one has been able to. In fact, Jesus has sent his church into the world to continue that very same message, repentance and faith in the good news of his death and resurrection for us. Repent and believe the gospel. Nothing has changed, and Jesus is still preaching that very same message to us today, in spite of all the preachers who think they've found something better to say from the pulpit on Sunday morning. We do sermon reviews here on Issues Etc., and one of the reasons we do it is to point out both the good, those who are preaching Christ's message, and the bad, those who have found another message to preach other than the one Christ has given his church to preach. Today, a good one, a good example, a sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Brent Kuhlman of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska, on the text of Jesus preaching about the preacher preaching. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Monday afternoon. It's the 27th of February. We kick it off with a little bit of sermon review, and then at about the half-hour mark, Brian Gadowell will be joining us. We'll talk about what happened in Hollywood last night. They were all out in their beautiful array. They were all out with the paparazzi in attendance. They were all out receiving their awards. The winners of this year's Academy Awards, we'll talk about some of the winners, the actors, the movies, with Brian Gadowell, a Hollywood screenwriter and author of several books, including Hollywood Worldviews, Watching Films with Wisdom and Discernment. He's also got a new publication, Noah Primeval, Chronicles of the Nephilim book. Brian Gadowell will be our guest. Now, you can join us, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet at issuesetc. Whenever we review sermons, good, bad, or in between, we always use the same three-part diagnostic. It will tell you not everything you need to know about a good or bad sermon, but it will tell you the one thing you do need to know. Is this a sermon that is about Jesus, your Savior, what he has done for you, a sinner? Namely, and in particular, what he has done as your substitute in life, in death, and in resurrection for your salvation. That's what it'll tell you. It's a simple three-part diagnostic. The first part is, how often is Jesus mentioned? You keep a running tally as you listen to this sermon or to any other sermon. Do it. Try this with your preacher on Sunday morning. It's a good idea. I wouldn't tell him about it right away because preachers can be kind of sensitive about their preaching. If your preacher balks at the idea of you actually paying attention to his sermon and keeping track of things like how often or if he mentions Jesus at all, if he balks at that, you might want to find a different preacher. But any preacher worth his salt will welcome a healthy and biblical critique of his preaching. Just listen. How often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a tally how often Jesus is mentioned. Sometimes the preacher likes to just stick Jesus in. That's footnote Jesus right at the very end. It's usually in a prayer in Jesus' name or something like that. Sometimes he'll talk about Jesus at the very beginning. It's prologue Jesus. Sometimes Jesus will get mentioned here and there in the middle of the sermon as kind the same way you, you know, quote Abraham Lincoln in a sermon, or the same way you toss in an illustration. That is, that's honorable mention, Jesus, there. What we're looking for is not any of that. We're looking for Jesus all over your sermon. That tally sheet should be full by the time the preacher is done with his 10 to 20 minutes of preaching. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Now, if Jesus is mentioned numerous times, if Jesus is all over the sermon, go on to part two. That is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Just pay attention to the grammar of your pastor's preaching. Everything he says, unless he's one of these postmodern preachers that just tosses out incomplete ideas, everything he says is going to be in sentence form. It's going to have a subject. It's going to have a verb. It's going to have a direct object. Where does Jesus fall in that model there? Where is he? Is he the subject of the verbs, or is he the object of the verbs? That is Jesus doing the action in the sermon? Is the preacher telling you what Jesus has done rather than what you have done or someone else has done? If Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, then you can go on to part three of the diagnostic, and that is, what are the verbs? That's a very important question. Jesus could be the subject of all kinds of verbs, like the Jesus who helps, who inspires, who motivates, who coaches you through life, who gives you an example. But the Jesus that is presented in Scripture and that ought to be presented in every Christian sermon is the Jesus that does the very particular kind of verbs that save you, like lives a perfect life of obedience in your place, suffers for you, dies for you, rises again for you, forgives your sins, promises you life and salvation. Listen for those verbs. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are those verbs? With that in mind, let's jump into the sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Brent Kuhlman of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska. The sermon text is Mark chapter 1. It's always helpful to know what the actual text is. Beginning at verse 9, in those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Here is where the text for the sermon per se begins. And after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel."
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, well, did you hear what the preacher said? The preacher from Nazareth, Jesus, that is. Beloved Son of the Father, most pleased of the Father and full of the Holy Spirit, Jesus. Now, I hope you weren't nodding off. And I sure hope you were paying attention, because after all, we're so used to blowing off sermons. I mean, I can't even remember what I preached last week, and if you ask me 10 minutes after the service, I won't be able to remember. How you put up with it week after week, I'll never know. But today, this is one of the most important sermons you will ever hear in your life. If you ever said to yourself, well, today I'm going to pay attention to the preacher and I'm really going to concentrate on listening, then here's your chance. For today the preacher is none other than the Lord Jesus himself, God in the flesh. There is no other God than this man, born of the Virgin, Jesus. Word of God made flesh, Jesus. Because his words are God's words. When Jesus speaks, God speaks to you. And that's why the Father said last week on the Mount of Transfiguration, listen to him. And so today, it's a full blast from heaven, kingdom of God sermon. No holds barred. Preacher Jesus throws caution to the wind. He says what needs to be said. He doesn't ask the communication experts at the seminary for advice. He doesn't survey the congregation to get their input on preaching or what the congregation would like to hear. He just steps right up into the Galilean pulpit and categorically declares, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. Right now. Right before your very eyes, and right before your very ears." Did you hear that? No one had ever preached like that before. Not even Abraham. Not Moses or Elijah. They couldn't, because they were always waiting for the time of the promised Savior. But now the wait is over. The promised Savior, the King, and the kingdom is here right before our very eyes. And he is the Galilean preacher, Jesus. Yes, the time of salvation has come. God reigns on the earth right now.
We'll take a little break. When we come back, we'll hear the rest of Pastor Brent Kuhlman's sermon preached in Murdoch, Nebraska, where he's pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church there. The sermon text, Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15, and he's concentrating on Jesus' own sermon there. The Galilean preacher, it's not just what would you have heard if you were there to hear Jesus preach during his earthly ministry. See, that's the whole point of these sermon reviews. Nothing has changed. It's not what would you have heard if you had been around to hear Jesus preach. Jesus is still preaching. He's preaching through his church. And he's told his church what it is he would have them proclaim: repentance and forgiveness of sins in his name. Jesus even says this himself to his disciples. It was necessary that Christ suffer all these things and enter his glory, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins be proclaimed in his name. And he intends that preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins, his preaching, to continue. We do not need to find something better, something more relevant, something more timely to preach. Jesus has given us our preaching assignment, and he says, continue to preach this until I come again. And it is by this preaching that he continues to make disciples in his church. So when we come back and we continue to review this sermon, we'll hear what it means that Jesus proclaims the reign of God here on earth, even now, among us. We'll be right back.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
How does Jesus' incarnation provide us with a response to religious relativism? Find out in an article that I've written for the latest issues, etc. journal. It's titled God in a Box, and we'll send it to you for free. Just send an email to journal@issuesetc.org. You can also read about Pastor Michael Schuerman's journey from moralistic therapeutic deism to the rock-solid theology of the Reformation. The online Issues, etc. journal, journal@issuesetc.org.
Preaching Christ and Him crucified. You're listening to Issues, etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Welcome back. I was thinking during the break that why is it that we don't do this? Why is it that when the preacher gets into the pulpit on Sunday morning, he doesn't consciously say to himself, if Jesus were my guest preacher this Sunday, what would he have to say to my people? Really, if you're preaching from the text, you don't have to ask that question because the answer is already provided in the text. Do you want to know what Jesus would say to your people? Do you want to know what Jesus would preach to you on Sunday morning if he were the guest preacher at your congregation? Open God's Word. I was listening to a sermon earlier today, a bad one, and the preacher continually referred to how God had spoken to him and given him this message. He had no Bible passage for it. He just said, God spoke to me, and he spoke to me in a deeper way, and I heard him speaking. That's no sure way of knowing what Jesus is saying to you. Open his word, and you will know what it is Christ says to you in his word. That's a good thing about textual preaching. And the good thing about the sermon that we're reviewing here on this Monday afternoon is that the preacher's actually getting out of the way and letting Jesus preach the sermon, which is really what ought to happen every Sunday. Jesus is still proclaiming repentance and the forgiveness of sins. It's a sermon preached yesterday by Pastor Brent Kuhlman of Trinity Lutheran Church in Murdoch, Nebraska, the text from Mark chapter 1. We'll get back to the sermon. He was just saying that, yes, the time of salvation has come. God reigns here on earth now.
Do you realize what our Lord's full-blast sermon means? It means that you can't put God off any longer. You can no longer keep him at bay. You cannot keep him at arm's length. You cannot hold him up in the future. All your defenses, all your excuses, all your walls to keep God out of your life and away from your sin have now been breached, ruptured, broken. There is no escaping him. He is here. He has come. He has invaded your crib. He has intruded on your very life. He has barged right in. He's crashed your party. He has interrupted your relentless ambition to be little deities for yourselves. And he has ruined and spoiled all your self-preaching with your own words, with your own excuses, and with all of the self-justifying talk. And more. This time has come, this kingdom of God is at hand sermon from the Lord Jesus is more devastating than you could ever imagine. With those words, with that sermon, the eternal Word made flesh, Son of God Jesus, has come to take your sin away from you, give you a new heart, and give you someone finally in your life to trust. And I tell you that that will just kill you. Seriously, I'm not joking when I say that. After all, there is only one thing to be done with the old Adam and the old Eve. That is your sinful nature. And what is that? Reform her? Domesticate him? Correct him? Rehabilitate her? Civilize him? Educate her? No. The old Adam and the old Eve must be killed and put to death. And so, when preacher Jesus shows up, when God roams the earth in this man Jesus, he invades your life and he gets in your face, right in your grill, and it is time. It is time to die. The sinner must die. No more fending God off or keeping him separate from you and all your sin. All this is in order to lead you to repentance. Yes, the time has come. The kingdom of God is here. And so Jesus says, repent. He dared to preach it. The kingdom of God is here, so repent. R-E-P-E-N-T. Preach that, and the old Adam and the old Eve, they go ballistic. Off the deep end. Off the charts rebellion. The old Adam and the old Eve go into full-blown anarchist Occupy Kingdom of God mode. We protest, they declare. We object, they shout. Down with this preacher who claims to be God, they proclaim. We're in control here. We are gods unto ourselves, and so crucify him. Crucify him. Time to get rid of this troublemaker. He's trying to do us in. Yep, that's right. That's absolutely right. Do you in. Bingo. Bang on. Repent. Yes, he's saying that to you. He's not preaching to the pews or to the walls. He's preaching to you. Repent. In other words, die. Die to your sin. Sin is no longer your governor. Sin is not your Lord. For there's a new Lord in town. The kingdom of God is at hand. And that's Jesus. Lord Jesus. His is a new reign. He is a new king. A new Lord. A new Lord who has come to take away the sin of the world. How? By taking it in his body on the cross. The only begotten Son of the Father is the one and only sacrifice for all sin and every sinner. Your sin is now his at Calvary. He has and he carries sin, yours and the world's. Greatest of all sinners, Jesus has all your sin in his body on the cross. Maximum sinner on the cross, Jesus, bearing all sin. He takes the sinner's damnation. He becomes a curse, Galatians 3, while hanging on the tree. He who knew no sin was made to be sin for you, 2 Corinthians 5, on the tree. That is how deep Jesus goes into your life. This is how far the kingdom of God comes into your midst. Jesus goes after all your sin, and he takes it away from you, and he takes it as his own. Satan tried to tempt Jesus to not do that. Those temptations of Satan in the wilderness were all about trying to keep Jesus and your sins as far apart from one another as possible. In other words, keep Jesus and your sins totally separate from each other. And then, of course, Jesus is of absolute no use to you. But Jesus will have none of that. He comes down from heaven. The time has come. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. All of heaven has arrived in him. He has come to get sinners and take their sin. And so he lays down his life for the sheep and for you. Brothers and sisters, would you dare to keep your sin off or away from Jesus? Would you insist on keeping all your sin to yourself, taking care of your sin all on your own? I tell you that your salvation depends on Jesus taking all your sin and becoming sin. After all, either your sin will be on you or on Jesus. And if your sin is not carried by Jesus, then it remains on you. And then you will die and be damned in it. But I tell you again today that Jesus has taken your sin, all of it. He is totally Calvary wrapped in all your sin. Your sin is his. He left none out. And therefore, it's governed, it's lorded, it's governed and lorded by his divine blood shed and poured out on the cross. And so when all your sin is on Jesus, then it is defeated sin. It is forgiven sin. And so here is the good news. You are forgiven. Jesus died for you. The kingdom of God has come for you and to you. Jesus reigns over you and for you with his blood. His blood is the divine blood that cleanses you from all your sin. That's salvation, the Jesus way, the kingdom of God way. And today Jesus turns to you with all that he is and all that he has for you in one more sermon. In a few minutes, you will hear the living voice of Jesus again when he says, "The time has come. I reign among you still. Eat my body. Drink the New Testament in my blood. And I promise that you're forgiven." When he says those words, he's talking to you. They are his living words addressed to you. And with such a magnificent promise from the Lord himself, you have life and salvation. And to all that from the Lord, faith says what? Faith says, amen. It is the truth. In the name of Jesus, amen.
So that's what it should sound like. You say, well, can you really preach Christ and him crucified, repentance and the forgiveness of sins? Should we really be hearing that every Sunday, every sermon? I answer, yes, you should. Absolutely, you should. Not only is it what you need to hear, it is what Christ has commanded his church to have you hear, commanded his pastors to preach. If you're hearing something else, if you've got a sermon that is absent Jesus or has all sorts of Jesus in it, but it has Jesus doing all sorts of other things, then bringing you to repentance and a knowledge of your sin through his word and answering the accusations of that word of law against you with his perfect obedience, his suffering, his death, and his resurrection. If you're hearing something other than that, you need to find a different preacher. Find the kind of preacher that Jesus is. Find a place where Jesus is still preaching. When we come back, we'll talk about the winners of this year's Academy Awards with Brian Goodell.
Wouldn't it be great if more of your fellow parishioners listened to Issues Etc.? Well, here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. The bulletin blurb is updated weekly. issuesetc.org. Stay connected. issuesetc.org.
Did you know that you can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by donating stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio? For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. this year. Call Craig today, 618-223-8385. Thanks for your support.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
No one should die alone.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
While Oregon is often known as the home of euthanasia advocate Dr. Jack Kevorkian, it was also the birthplace of a distinctly different type of end-of-life care. The No One Dies Alone program was started in Eugene, Oregon, a decade ago, and spread to other states. The goal of the program? To make sure that any terminally ill patient will not die without the support and presence of another person. Trained volunteers sit with patients who are on their deathbeds. This affirms that people matter and that life matters until the very end.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.